howdy, y'all. If I had the talent of Mr. Mike Sledge, I might have begun the broadcast with a Richard Carey impersonation. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm sorry. I'm not Richard Carey. My name is Stephen Douglas Whitener, and I'm Mr. Richard Carey's frequent partner in thought crime, and I'm going to be filling in for him today as a host. Something has come up with him, and I'm honored and proud to be doing this. Listeners to RBN will probably recognize my voice as well, or who are regularly. And I am lucky enough to be joined with Richard's regular Thursday co-host from Europe, Mr. Willem Felderhoff. Willem, can you hear you? Are you coming in, sir?
Hey, hello, Stephen. Good to be with you this Thursday, and I hear you 5x5. Oh, great.
Thanks, Willem. Yes, I did forget to mention the date. It's September the 8th, y'all. Thursday, September the 8th. And, of course, you're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network on republicbroadcasting.org. And this show is called Beyond the Official Narrative. Richard Carey is usually the host, as I said, and I have to brag on Mr. Carey for a moment. He does a terrific job here. I mean, Monday through Friday, from noon until 1 Central Time. Mondays, Richard will have Mr. Paul Edward Stevenson, an Irishman living in London, giving that, you know, that perspective. Tuesdays lately, he has been joined with Paul from California, as well as a number of very interesting different guests. And Wednesdays, this Dark Corner Hillbilly Speaking Here comes on with him pretty often. And we were lucky enough to have Graham Sutherland with us this yesterday, and he will be returning more often. And Thursdays, we get to hear from you, Mr. Felderhoff. And last time I remember hearing from you, you were in Portugal. Are you still in Portugal, sir?
No, I'm not in Portugal. I'm now in Spain, actually, and I'm about to cross the border tomorrow back to France. So I have made a road trip the past few weeks, and we passed Portugal, and now we have crossed the whole north coast of Spain, which is absolutely stunning, beautiful nature there, and very green. And we didn't see one fire, by the way, which was very interesting. When I left it during this, you know, this heat and all the fires, and I crossed the whole Spain, and I didn't see actually one fire, and also not in Portugal. I only saw the leftovers of fires from last year, so that was interesting as well. But so I'm almost finishing up this road trip.
I'm glad you were able to take a holiday, sir. There has been a spectacular drought in southwestern Europe. I was reading. Has that broken anyway? As your weather improves now that fall is more on the way?
Well, in France, it's really bad. At my place, it's really, really bad. I'm hearing background noise, by the way.
Yes, I am too. I don't know. That's not me, sir. There is someone that's off. I think that the studio is not muted, perhaps. You guys are. Yeah, they don't realize that. I don't think they realize that the studio is unmuted. Okay. Willem, I'm sorry. That's it. They're discussing the AC issues there. That there have RBN listeners. If you're able to support RBN to keep Mr. Stadmiller's neighborhood going, please go to the republicbroadcasting.org page and smash that yellow donate button. There have been a lot of issues with the air conditioning there. I need to let them know that they're doing this somehow. Hey, guys, can you hear? Maybe I can send a text that let the too much. Come on, guys. Julie, come on now. I'm sorry, guys. I apologize, listeners. We do have an open mic there in the studio. I don't know how to mute that myself, but I believe they realized the issue there. That's better. I apologize, listeners, but it's live radio. We are real, authentic people here. This is not some big corporate setup here that you're listening to. These are real, independent, authentic people, just like Mr. Felderhoff, who I'm talking to. I apologize, Willem. There was just an inadvertent microphone left open in the studio, it sounded like. Now, let's go. You were talking about your trip through Spain, I believe, to initially that you didn't see any fires. Were there fires reported in the news? Had you expected to see fires?
It was daily on the news. It was daily barrage of massive fires in Spain and Portugal. Maybe I missed it, but I drove like 1,200 miles through Spain in the areas where supposedly these fires were. I saw once just in the, you know, on the horizon some smoke of not really huge fires, but so I think, I don't know, but maybe I missed it. That's possible as well, but it sounds weird to me because what I say, across all these areas, and I just literally didn't see one fire compared to a few years ago when I saw way more fires, which were not reported like this year. You asked me about the droughts, actually, which are still very, very bad in France. Is that you? Yeah. So the droughts are still very bad in France and also in Spain. You can see it, but in my area also the rivers are very low or dry even. So that's really an issue, of course, this drought, which is very weird. It's extreme, the droughts. I don't know which component, extra components are being applied to create this kind of drought. But it's still ongoing, the droughts, and it's causing, this water crisis, actually. In France, for instance, they closed half of the nuclear powers, power centers, because of the lack of cooling water. And it's still very much an issue, the droughts here in Europe.
That's very serious. I don't know that that's ever happened before. I could be wrong, but I don't remember ever hearing that happen before. And I do recall you mentioning that one of the rivers, I believe it might have been the Seine, that was so low that it was at an unprecedented level, that it had never, gotten so low, and that a lot of, shot down hardware, World War II weaponry had been uncovered that had been lying underwater for all these years. Some of it was quite dangerous, I read in an article. Are you familiar with that situation, sir, since you're closer by? I just read about this in the papers.
Yeah, well, I'm not with that specific, this specific World War II things which were uncovered because of the droughts, but I'm very much aware of the droughts. Also in Holland, for instance, the big rivers are at the lowest point ever, and these are huge rivers which come into the North Sea, end up in the North Sea. So most of the traffic is not able to pass, with, of course, is feeding this food crisis. But it's very weird because Holland is the lowest country in the world. It's below sea level. So it's just weird. There is some extra component which is causing these droughts. It's not just natural in balance with just the hot summer, because it was hot summer, but not like that hot. It's, last year was the coldest summer ever in the UK recorded. Now it was warm, but they recorded the same temperatures like a few years ago, but it didn't portray it as extreme heat. So it was actually quite normal. Yes, it was warm, it was hot, but it was summertime. So I find it really weird that these so-called hot temperatures, which were not that extreme hot, were causing these really extreme droughts, causing even the big rivers falling dry in Holland. And that's never happened before. So that's definitely new. And also in France, there are quite some rivers, big rivers. I'm also depending on a river next to my place, which is almost dry, and I just don't have public water system. So if that falls dry, I just cannot live there, sort of. So, it's really an issue. And in Italy as well, big rivers are just completely dry, some in the north, which is causing extreme problems. So, but it's not in... it's not in accordance with the temperature in the heat, so-called, this extreme heat, which is causing this. There's some sort of extra vaporizing or sucking out the water with some other techniques. I saw really interesting stuff regarding CERN, what CERN is doing, and which is influencing these magnetosphere, magnetopulse specifically, which is causing, sort of gaps in these magnetopulse, which causes this heat, this specific damaging radiation from the sun is entering the atmosphere and also on the surface of the planet, and that might cause these extreme droughts for a part. So I think there's also a weather warfare aspect, whether it's CERN or other techniques, which is also increasing these droughts.
Well, yes, so you anticipated one of my next questions about this, which I'm not familiar enough with what happens at CERN and what possible effects it could be having to speak to that, really, but I don't discount that at all. But I am familiar with the fact that our magnetic field on the planet Earth has been steadily weakening rapidly since this 1859 Carrington event, which was a huge solar flare. And at that point, the magnetic poles started an excursion. They started to move rapidly where they had been relatively stable for centuries before, and that our magnetic field had been, according to the fossil records anyway, I suppose that measuring instruments before 1859 were not quite as accurate and dependable, but according to their records, it has really weakened more and more, so we have less of a shield, if you will, a magnetic shield to protect us from incoming radiation, solar radiation, as well as cosmic radiation. So I was wondering if that could be playing an effect itself, and what your opinion was on that. I'm certainly no meteorologist or expert, but I think you are more knowledgeable about those things than I am. So I wanted to ask your opinion on that, sir.
Well, yeah, I think that's a very interesting point you bring up there, because, yeah, we are at this grand solar minimum. I'm not an expert on space weather. I did study meteorology for in aviation to become a pilot, so I see that we see complete unnatural weather phenomena in the skies, but space weather is another department, of course. I don't know so much about it, but you're right. We are in this sort of grand solar minimum as well. And we are less protected. The planet is way less protected with especially this magnetosphere, magnetopause, which keeps this damaging radiation, this dangerous radiation from the sun coming into the atmosphere or reaching the surface of the planet. And but it's interesting. There's a guy, I don't know the name, he has a YouTube channel. He's monitoring CERN, what's happening there on a daily level, and the energy which is created there and the beams which are put out. And at the same time, he's monitoring with satellite images the images of the magnetopause, magnetosphere, and the ionosphere and the layers around the Earth. And it's very much parallel in accordance with what's happening in CERN when they, you know, when they start a collider and create this insane beams of energy, which supposedly are secured, which doesn't make sort of sense. But at the same time, you see gaps arising in these magnetopoles, which is facilitating this damaging radiation coming on the Earth. And at the same time, we have these extreme droughts and weird kind of microwave sensing heats on the planet. So, I think it's a combination of things, what is happening, but I'm not sure, of course, because I'm not a specialist in that field as well.
Well, sir, when you say the magnetopause, are you referring to the, like, the shock wave of the magnetic field of the sun as it goes through space, or of the Earth, perhaps, of the Earth as it orbits? Because we have both taking place there. There's a shield of, I think they call it the Van Allen belt, where the magnetic field of Earth deflects these incoming rays that would otherwise hit us straight on and damage us, but the magnetic field flips them up toward the poles is what, and I know you are aware of this, sir, but so, and probably most of the listeners, but just for those who aren't or don't exactly know what we're discussing, when the sun's rays come straight at Earth, if they were to keep coming straight at you, like at the equator, they would be so strong that, you know, the life would be pretty much unlivable on Earth because of the UV radiation that would damage living tissue. But because we have a magnetic field in the Earth, then those rays are deflected by that magnetic field toward both of the poles. And when they make impact with the atmosphere, that's what causes all the pretty colors with the aurora borealis and the aurora australis. That's the energy interacting with the atmosphere and knocking electrons out of their orbit, emitting photons, et cetera, et cetera. It's, I mean, it's a fascinating process that I'm not an expert at, but, and I've never seen those either, by the way. Have you ever seen the auroras? Well, you live in Europe. That must be awesome. What was that
it
like?
It was a privilege when I was flying as a pilot over there in the northern hemisphere, the North Pole, I saw a lot of often saw this aurora, and it's beautiful. It's magnificent spectacle to watch in the night when you're flying over Greenland or in this area. You can see it very clear. So yeah, I saw it often, I'm thankful for that. It was a beautiful experiences.
Oh, that sounds terrific. I envy you that, sir. That's wonderful. It's a pleasure to speak with you, sir. There are a lot of questions that I wanted to ask you about. One of them, before we go to the break, there is a book that you've recommended many times. I think it's called The Invisible Rainbow, perhaps. And it had to do with the parallels of electrification and EM radiation with the growth of pandemics and diseases throughout the last century. Am I getting the name of that book wrong? Because I'm going to buy myself a couple of books for my birthday coming up, and I believe this is going to be one of them. And I just wanted to ask you about that book one more time, sir, because you've mentioned it a few times and other hosts as well. So it must be well worth the read.
Yeah, it's from Arthur Fichtenberg. The electric rainbow, and he's describing all these introductions of new kind of spectrums of electromagnetic frequencies into society, and each time when they do that, there seems to be a wave of diseases and health issues at the same time. So yeah, it's very, very worth reading, I think, the book, for many people to understand the dangers of the electromagnetic radiation which we are exposed to, because it's so underestimated, and even now today hardly people speak about it anymore, while at the same time 5G is rolled out and it's just one big really microwave where we live in now, with a lot of health issues.
Yes, sir, it's like we're living in a microwave oven, it seems, some days. I never thought it would get to this. And okay, let me make sure I understand. It's The Electric Rainbow, not The Invisible, but The Electric Rainbow is the name of the book. Is that correct, sir? Oh, did I lose the signal? Willem, can you hear us? Oh, yeah, that's okay. I think you were muted. Yeah. Well, it's The Electric Rainbow, not The Invisible Rainbow. Is that correct, sir?
It is The Electric Rainbow, I think. Sometimes.
I just wanted to make sure I get the right name, because I do intend to read it. And also another book was recommended.
It's The Invisible Rainbow.
It's The Invisible Rainbow. Okay, all right. Well, gee, my memory's not as bad as I thought it was. But yeah, okay, The Invisible Rainbow, and the author's name was Freiberg. What was that?
Arthur Fichtenberg.
Fichtenberg, yes, sir. That sounds great. I had another book recommended by someone Tuesday. I don't know if it was Paul from California or his guest, which they said covered similar material and was perhaps directed at a simpler audience. I'm going to try to get the name of that one as well. I wish I had it at the tip of my tongue, but those two books I think are very much worth the read, and I'm not trying to endorse what they say. They just bring up, I've read the synopsis and some of the points in it, and I've heard Mr. Felderhoff mention it and other people many times. I just think it's well worth considering. You know, if you want to find the truth about things, then you have to be willing to go places that maybe you're not comfortable with and challenge what you know. That's what I try to do as often as I can. And so that was one thing I wanted to bring up with you, sir, when I had the chance. So I will be getting that book. And you experience a lot of difficulty as a pilot. Many of the listeners will know your story about how you exposed the aerotoxic syndrome in the cockpits that was killing pilots, and also the fact that there's so much radiation that air crews are exposed to at 40,000 feet. Do I hear the music? Yeah, I hear the music coming in. We'll be right back, folks.
Thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
The invasion continues. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. 4.9 million illegal aliens that we know of have entered the nation since Biden took office. 900,000 were gotaways, who were seen but not apprehended. 56 known terrorists were captured in the 4 million aliens that were processed. So using the same ratio of terrorists to aliens, there were probably 12 or more terrorists in the 900,000 gotaways. In reality, that ratio is probably higher because criminals and terrorists don't want to be caught. Fentanyl is now 2/3 of the overdose deaths in America. 1,200 people have been found dead on the U.S. side of the southern border. At least a dozen terrorists roam free in our country. Tell me again how an open border is the humane thing to do. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Richard Carey's show, Beyond the Official Narrative. I'm not Richard Carey. My name is Stephen Douglas Whitener. I'm a guest hosting for Mr. Carey today. And I have with me Richard's regular Thursday co-host from Europe, Mr. Willem Felderhoff. And seems that the music cut you off, sir. Let me toss it back to you where you were.
Well, we were talking about the radiation in the radiation illness, actually, which is caused, with the electromagnetic radiation and also on higher altitudes with cosmic radiation for pilots, especially. And that's a really good point. And because the aerotoxic syndrome is the result of this toxification through these nerve gas components, which are part of the air in the air conditioning, which is caused by this leaking oil, cooling system in the engines. But the problem is that it has a lot of overlap. Radiation illness has a lot of symptoms, which are also symptoms for aerotoxic syndrome or organophosphate poisoning, which are also symptoms for COVID, which is so interesting, because the more I realized after I stopped flying, the more I realized that I was also suffering from severe radiation illness, which I really didn't realize actually very much. I thought it was mostly because of this toxic air and the nerve gas components, which was a very big component of my neurological issues. But after I stopped flying for like 4 years, some symptoms disappeared after 4 years not flying, 5 years. And I think it was also really very big part of severe radiation illness, which we are now suffering from most of society is suffering from it and doesn't have a clue. We think a lot of these symptoms are just normal in today's society. You know, all these diagnoses with burnout, headaches, dizziness, cognitive issues, memory issues, concentration issues, all these kinds of symptoms are part of radiation illness, fatigue, and also overlap with other toxic, you know, poisonous diseases, and is now labeled also in the COVID spectrum of symptoms. So it's really difficult to pinpoint what is what, but clearly we're living in this toxic microwave for sure. Literally, it's literally a toxic microwave. So not having symptoms in this life, living in a toxic microwave, is abnormal if you don't have any symptoms, I guess.
That makes perfect sense, sir. It does. And I make the joke that I suffer from boomer mincha, and where the heck did I put that and things like that, just because my my age is getting, I'll be 62 this month, and I've had a few strokes as well, but I've noticed that when I get out of the city, out into nature, if I go visit perhaps the North Carolina mountains, is not far from me, or somewhere even in the middle part of the state near the lakes where there's a lot of farmland, but there's not a lot of infrastructure, you know, Wi-Fi and as much electric power and stuff. I mean, there are big hydro lines going across the state, but once I'm away from that, in fact, there's even a place closer to me called what they call the watershed. It's a protected area where I didn't realize, but there's no Wi-Fi signal there. When I was making a delivery one day and was going to come on as Richard's co-host, but lost my signal. And I did get it back in time for the show, but that surprised me. And I think I might try to go spend a little more time up there, just away from it all, to just I don't want to say recharge my batteries, but you understand, just find some serenity from all that electromagnetic noise. Even if I don't really feel it, I do believe it affects me. And yeah. And mainstream media, Hollywood, tries to make fun of this. I don't know if you watch any American, you know, television shows, and I watch very little myself, but I did watch a series that was called Breaking Bad, which was on a few years ago, an American show about a chemistry teacher who gets cancer and goes to cook methamphetamine to pay for his bills and stuff. And it's along, you know, several seasons. It was very popular. And the point I'm making is that they made a prequel to this particular series. And in that prequel, there is a character who suffers from an electromagnetic, I call it an allergy maybe, but it affects him to the point that it's like he's on fire or whatever when he's in an electric field and stuff. So if he ever goes out in public, he has to dress like a tinfoil hat guy with literally Faraday cage clothes on and stuff. And they put this character in that show just to ridicule people who actually are that sensitive to it. And I haven't met them personally, but I've met online and spoken with some people who have moved to a place in West Virginia that is supposed to be free from this particular, a lot of these frequencies, and that they are sensitive to it. And I hear the music again, sir. I apologize, but perhaps you could address that when we return.
Yep.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, KosherTify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food. regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Moonlight shines, his beam so bright. Stars are measured, a silvery light. Energy that travels here happens on the seventh year. It shall come, we shall be as one. Perhaps the diet has begun. From the realm beyond the sun, here our lifetime has
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Richard Carey's Beyond the Official Narrative radio show. I'm his guest host today, Stephen Douglas Whitener, and I have Mr. Willem Felderhoff with me, who is the regular Thursday co-host. Willem, before I go any farther down, there's so many things I'd like to talk with you about and ask you about, but half the show is gone already, and I did want to ask you what you thought the most important thing was, and ask you just to give us your take on current events too and the news. Before I go any farther with this, I there's other things perhaps I'll be able to go into with you in the future. I see we already have a caller as well, but let me throw it to you and get your take on what's most important right now and how you feel about the way things are going with the news, and in particular just that one thing, that Biden speech where he seemed to be declaring war on the American people, and anything else you've seen you feel is pertinent, sir. Let me give it to you for a few minutes to give your point of view there.
Well, just to start off with what you said before the break about this radiation, your health and your symptoms, what you're experiencing in areas where you don't have these dense Wi-Fi conditions in nature. Just to give you an example, last 3 weeks I was traveling here in Spain and Portugal, and I literally didn't have one normal night rest. I woke up every night a few times, or just woke up at 4 or 5 o'clock and then couldn't sleep again, or I couldn't fall asleep. You have this weird kind of dreams, or sort of agitation. And when I'm in France, I never have that. I always sleep well. I always sleep 7 hours, just straight, mostly straight. And I'm never tired during the days, well, the last 3 weeks have been exhausting, actually, and I think this is very much the result of this radiation. And most people seem to find this very normal, actually, who live in the city or, like, in Holland, most people I speak there, they just accept it, and they see this as stress, you know, or diagnosed with burnout and all these kinds of stuff. They don't relate it to the radiation exposure, which is just off the scale and very harmful. So I think it's important to mention it as well, and to experience the differences when you're in nature and when you're in a city, or, well, most parts in Europe are big cities, but that's a very significant difference to experience. Yeah, and I mean, the question, what is the most important thing that is happening nowadays? Of course, I focus mostly on Europe and in Holland, because in Holland it's going really fast, all these you know, changes in society and all the restrictions and all the now the energy crisis, and the farmers are being chased off the land. It's really being ramped up, this agenda. And I think the most important thing still is what we don't see, what nobody speaks about in mainstream, of course, is besides this ridiculous political theater with this illusionary right-left, dialectic, is of course the vaccine damages and the health issues caused by the vaccine, and they are also sort of reintroducing this. You see more masks coming back, and new vaccination is being announced for the coming months. So, and then you have the coming summer. So, I think there's too much ongoing that I cannot specifically say one thing, which I think is the most serious thing, but the overall condition in society, deteriorating conditions, and escalation also, and the ramping up of these agendas, that's the most important thing, I think.
I think I agree with you very much there, sir. And yes, and pointing out that about the radiation, I do plan to, in the near future, go back and try to experience a little freedom from that, just as you described. I think that is something that needs to be mentioned. And we could talk a lot more about that. I want to read those books when I get them, to have a little more knowledge of it. And we have a caller, sir. Is it fine for you that we take a caller? Yes, we have a Brian in Washington. Hello, Brian. Can you hear me, sir? Going once. Brian in Washington, sir. Can you hear us? I don't know. Maybe he's on mute or dropped off or whatever. Well, if
Brian, are you there?
Man, hello, Brian. Can you?
Apparently not. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Well, okay. I had muted myself there when I was looking at his name. Yeah, I don't know why we can't go to Brian. That's unusual. We usually can get to a caller, but well, in that and while we're waiting, and if you want to, hey Brian, listen, if you want to hang up and try to call back again, that might fix the connection. I don't know, but you're welcome to try that too. Yeah, going back to what I think you owe a lot of kudos to you, sir, for exposing these things. I mean, you stood up and fought for this, and it cost you your career. It's that's the other thing that we had discussed talking about some, is kind of what we share in common as whistleblowers, so to speak. And I'd been told I should mention it more, what happened with Aquatech with me when, you know, it was literal hydrogen chloride gas at one time that they hit me with. But over many years, you were exposed to this air. And, you know, phosphate, organophosphate, that's nerve gas. That's the toxic pesticide. That's very deadly stuff. And probably, I would think that there's a synergistic effect, a gestalt, if you will, of the two together that would be more harmful than either one of them separately when you have the radiation that you're exposed to, as well as exposure to the toxin. It wouldn't be just one or the other, but the effect would probably be amplified of each. That would be my guess, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a really great point, because in toxicity, it's not being taken into account, the synergy, the toxic synergy of different components. And there was one an air sample in an airplane. They found more than 150 different carcinogenic and neurotoxic compounds in the cabin, of which only the triclosyl phosphate, the TCP, which I'm talking about, these organophosphates, which, by the way, are patented by Monsanto, that they don't take the synergy into account. And that's even way worse, the toxic synergy of these components. So, yeah, I agree. It's very good to mention that, because most people don't realize it, that the toxicity of some component is only taken into account by itself individually and not taken into account with all this other cocktail of other components.
Okay, I think maybe we have Brian back. Let's try and see if we can go to Brian now. Brian, can you hear us, sir? You're on the air if...
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Great. You can hear. Yes, sir. You're coming in 5x5, sir. How are you? Do you have a question for Mr. Felderhoff or a comment, sir?
I do. Your guest today is spectacularly informed and talking of a very important subject. I'm going to say that 2 years ago, there was a caravan to midnight. I believe the guy's name is Bob Wells. He's very popular. John Wells, maybe, kind of a coast-to-coast sidekick, whatever it is. He had a Captain Jerry Flynn on from BC, Canada, just north of me. And for 2 hours, they go over exactly this radiation and technology health effects nightmare. And so I just wanted to... possibly put that in your chat. Mentioned that this Captain Jerry Flynn had visited with a Dr. Martin Paul in Portland, Oregon. We need to get some traction on the health effects of this Wi-Fi, whether you're electronically sensitive or whatever the story is. Lark's call yesterday was hitting it out of the park. I'm wanting to remind people that this debate, is it technocracy that's the boogeyman, or is it communitarianism? What has been said, and I believe is accurate, in order to implement communitarianism as a new form of global governance, you're going to need the technocracy. So when Dr. Paul and Captain Flynn and others are discussing this nightmare being implemented, they are making no traction because it is so crucially important to the new form of global governance that will replace capitalism and communism. Now, RBN has a host on Saturday, Ingrid Castle from Idaho. She had a, you know, electronic sensitive EHS woman on who lives in North California. Her name is Shannon Rowan, and she has a book out, and she refers to herself as a Wi-Fi refugee. She basically has to go live in a hovel in the middle of nowhere to get away from all these towers and the like. If you guys got between broadcasts for a guest, we could easily set up Shannon to come on and inform your listeners what it is going to be like when we are all becoming brain frazzled with this technology. I'm seeing people 50 years old with, well, you know, can we stop for a minute? My heart is banging out of my chest and brain fog. And I'm not talking about somebody that should be suffering from this. It's accumulative. He goes on airplanes. He's got it in his new vehicle. He's got his cell phone in his pocket every minute. He's got Wi-Fi in every building. And it's doing him in. So, yeah, this... would be much appreciated. I mean, we're about to come up to a September 11th commemoration. Let's just drop kick the whole anniversary. We don't need to hear, you know, the cutting-edge new guest. He's going to come on and tell the people about the dancing Israelis again. I think this technology thing is, should be put to the forefront of this, because you can't go into a courtroom and try and explain this because they just won't hear it. It's their court system. We need to get enough people aware of this that we can make some pushback. End of rant.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir there, Brian. I agree with you completely. And I was going to say that in the future, I hope to be able to produce even more content so I could have, something like that. And would you, my contact information for any listeners who wanted to send me a message and contact with me, I do have now, even though Facebook completely deleted me, my Stephen Douglas Whitener account that had my dad's picture, they just zapped me. It just infuriates me. I couldn't get my data, but I do have one that says Stephen Whitener on Facebook where I can get message. I don't check it, but like once or twice a day, because I don't put it on my phone. I have it on another device, and the profile picture is kind of animated. Someone took my picture and made like a cartoon out of it for me and sent it to me. So that was the one I have there. And also I have Telegram, Stephen Whitener, and Twitter that people can send me direct messages on if there's something they want to get to me. And I do believe that RBN now has a public email for me that you can anyone can access. So, and I'd love to hear from you more about this, sir. I wanted to ask you also, Brian, before you go, did you see that television show, Better Call Saul, where they were ridiculing the man who was, let's say, EMF sensitive or whatever this whatever the name is of this condition?
No, I did not. My sweetheart Jenna says it's EMS, EHS.
EHS.
Electric hypersensitive. So, no, we don't do Telegram because we don't have dumb phones, and you can't sign up for Telegram if you don't have a dumb phone. So Facebook is going to be a look for it. We will communicate. And if I have any problems, I can always buzz Larkin Texas up, and he's got your contact information. Done deal. Sir. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for the call, sir. Thank you, Brian. Anything would you like to respond, Willem, before Brian goes? Anything you'd like to say to him before we take the next caller?
Well, he brought up so many important and good stuff there. And like you say, it's preaching to the choir. This is ongoing for a long time. Many people have been fighting this and trying to fight it in court. The Bioinitiative report in 2012, that's 10 years ago, already exposed the dangers of radiation. It was way before even 4G, Wi-Fi radiation, all this phone stuff. It's harmful. It causes cancer and all these different health issues. I'm electrosensitive as well. I'm not electro-hypersensitive, but I cannot sit in a Tesla, for instance, and I'm dizzy, headaches, and I cannot sit in that or dense Wi-Fi environments. I just cannot. But luckily, I'm not hypersensitive. Janice Barcelo is also a good one on her website, radiationdangers.com. She's a host on RBN Network. Recently, she became a host. She has a Saturday show, I think. She's very much knowledgeable and fighting this stuff also for quite some time. So I think it's very difficult still, but it's very important to keep speaking out about it, of course. But to really fight it and discuss it, debate it, and go to court, it's just the courts are so corrupt, and it's impossible to prove this invisible danger, make the causal factors, and then against these lawyers of the state and these corporations. It's just a very difficult subject. But I totally agree with Brian, and it's good that he brings this stuff up.
Yes. Well, thank you again for the call, Brian. Now, I see another Brian from Washington listed. I'm not sure if that's the same,
Same. He called back.
Same. All right. I got you. Okay. Thanks very much for the call, sir. Please call again. Thank you very much for listening. Great points. And now we have Tom in Utah. Tom, can you hear me, sir?
Hi there, Steve and the gentlemen.
Hello, Tom.
With the food becoming a primary issue, famine, what's the recommended way to make the most of those calories? Does anybody know? When food becomes premium, you got to be efficient.
Very much so.
You don't want to go for secondhand calories with grease. You want to go straight to the source of all energy on this planet, and that's straight to the tree, you know, metaphorically. Mm. And I keep hearing all this discussion about this and that and this and that, but nobody ever touches the most important choice you can make. That means going straight to the garden. Get the food firsthand, virgin. And when it becomes scant, you don't want to run it through something that takes 700 pounds to produce 1 pound. You don't want to have the fat to interfere with your absorption. People say, well, you need 1,500 calories, right? No, you don't. You only need about 500 calories. But you waste 1,000 calories getting to that 500 calories because you go to the greasy garbage. You know, I've been trying to save my patriots. People want to mock because they don't want to give up their cheeseburger. But in fact, that cheeseburger will not suffice when the food becomes scant.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tom, I'm not muted. Tom, you know that I have personally adopted this for almost a year, just as you suggest yourself. But I would never try to tell anyone else what they should do. I just have seen results myself that astound me from changing my diet. And I was speaking with someone else last night who had done a similar thing for quite a few years, and they said that, and their experience was that after about the third year, they got to the point where they required more animal-based fat and protein. They were specifically talking more about fish, and I don't know if they mentioned cheese as well, but they added some of that back after 3 years because of some. I don't know all the ins and outs, but you know, I've gone almost a year myself, and the change in the way I feel is just incredible. So I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can for right now. But I'm not trying to tell you guys that's what you got to do out there. I'm not preaching this to the listeners.
I'm not
this
preaching
experience,
Steve.
You know. Well, I'm not saying you are. I didn't say you are. I say I'm just not trying to myself tell people what they should do. I just will report the experience that I've had and what has happened in my life. I mean, you can see the change in me. The 2 years that I've been doing radio, I'd look like a different person. And it wasn't just, you know, being on with Richard and doing, but that's really what kind of changed my way of thinking. Instead of just taking it anymore, I just decided to stop giving in to all these lies that I knew were lies to start with. And whether it has to do with the toxic food or big pharma or just...
is the number one cause of illness, what you stuff in your face. The other thing, synergistically,
yes.
And by the way, you're right, predisposes you to be sensitive to these other toxins or other forces. If your body is fed purely the way it was designed, it will tolerate these other problems with a greater degree. Here I am, I'm 81, and I've been watching my Patriot fellows go down like John Stedmiller. We lose like Ralph. We cannot afford to lose more.
I agree. I agree, Tom. Apologize for interrupting you. I want Willem to be able to respond to you, and I have another caller as well. Willem, what about you, sir? How do you feel on this issue? What kind of diet do you prefer, and how does that work for you?
Well, that's a personal thing, but I'm now just started recently, a month ago, with the carnivore diet, which is very interesting, I must say, because I was not really aware of this. I have did a lot of different diets, tried everything for long periods, different things. Never been a vegan, luckily, but close to vegetarian and other stuffs. And now I'm on this carnivore diet, and I really feel great with it. And I get a lot of different benefits from it, and also a lot of other people, and it's very interesting. There's a lot of information about it. Of course, it's contrary to what's promoted. So, yeah, that's my personal thing.
I have a very good friend who followed that diet for some time and had great results with it as well. His name is Cliff. He may come on with me at some point as a guest too in the future, a friend of mine. But yeah, he did the same thing, and it really benefited his health as well. So, you know, one size doesn't fit all here. We just have to do what's best for us. And hey, Tom, thank you as always for the call. I have one more caller to get to, and that would be Tom.
Well, just one more Tom. Thing, Steve. Oh, Steve.
Okay.
Steve.
All right. So
Steve,
yeah, go
one
ahead.
One more thing.
Running out of time.
I'm 81 years of age. I've been clean for 31 years, no problem. No diminishing of... By the way, I don't have Alzheimer's like many of my fellows do. That's a real great point. If you don't want to have Alzheimer's, you don't want to have the effects of putting the wrong stuff in and affecting your brain, go back to the original plan. That's
all right. Thanks
very
much.
That's the most important thing for us patriots. Keep our minds clear.
Tom in Florida. We only have a minute. I do appreciate you, though, sir. Thank you for calling. Tom, can you hear me? Tom in Florida. Tom? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, Tom, can you hear us, sir? I don't know.
Are you talking to me, Steve?
I'm trying to bring Tom in Florida on. He was next, sir. We only have a minute left. I wanted to get to him.
Go to tominutah.com.
All right. Yeah, Tom and
tominutah.com.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tom. And I don't know what I'm having trouble getting to Tom in Florida for some reason, but if you're on hold there, Tom, and you can hear me, we are trying to speak to you. Willem, let me turn it back over to you until we get there. Oh, there we go, Tom. Howdy, sir. Hey, what's on your mind today,
sir?
Can you hear me now. Great. Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I'll make it real quick. First off, Breitbart just reported that cloxychloroquine is a cure-all, basically, for COVID. They also said that I just want you to know Regeneron is Trump took it is an excellent thing to take instead of taking the vaccine. That people should have been taking that Regeneron the whole time. You know, I can tell you there's stories now that say Regeneron was the way to stop this COVID insanity. But I want to go to another thing. You know, Tom is talking about a lot of people live a long life. Well, I talked to an Italian buddy of mine. He's 91 years old, and he says he takes a quarter teaspoon of olive oil, virgin extracted olive oil, and this guy plays golf. He's 91 years old, and he plays good golf. And so I don't know, maybe just something a little bit about olive oil, a little virgin olive oil. I guess that could help you a little, like a half a teaspoon or whatever a day might be really good for your veins or whatever. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. But I just want to talk about...
We've got some noise on. It's like some tapping or something there. Is that you, Tom? Some kind of tapping noise I'm getting in the background.
Well, it's raining over here.
It could be that. Yes. Sorry, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, but anyway, to make a long story short, I just want you to know this. In the Miami Herald and other papers today, they're reporting how Hillary Clinton is not going to run for president in 2024 because the Haitian community has already said that Hillary stole $28 million out of the earthquake fund. Hillary and Bill Clinton ripped off the Haitian, the country of Haiti, for over $28 million, Stephen. Did you hear about that?
I had heard about the crimes in Haiti, not that specific $28 million, but about trafficking kids and a lot of horrible things that the Clinton Foundation did to Haiti. Yes, sir, I've heard a lot about that. It's disgusting.
Well, they were supposed to build like 180,000 homes over there, and they only owned, from what everybody's saying, the Haitian community here is saying in South Florida, they only ended up building like 800, 900 homes. And they never built up, and the Clinton Foundation ripped off the country of Haiti. And that's why one of the reasons Hillary's not going to run for president in 2024, because she's a thief. And all they do is attack Donald Trump, but they never look at these dirty demon rats with the filth they get away with. It's incredible. It's incredible.
It's a double standard, isn't it? Yes, sir.
And by the way, I I looked up Donald Trump's tax bill over the years he's been a billionaire. I found out that Donald Trump paid $810 million in federal withholding tax. How much more money they want out of that guy? He's certainly not getting a check every month for $50,000. But he paid $800 million back in taxes? I don't understand that. What did he get, a $3,000 check a month?
I think we have come up on the break, run over to the, hey, thanks.